If you have a Bible today, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And young people, you can be dismissed to go to your class. You will have a great time today. What a wonderful treasure we have in the Bible. When you think about it, it's God's Word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that an amazing verse? Jesus said in John 6, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him. But the Bible's a spiritual book. Amen? And it's a wonderful book. We read so many verses. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And that's what we're going to be doing today. In the book of Revelation, we find there's seven churches as you start the book of Revelation. And there's a message to each one of those seven churches. And it all ends with, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So it's not just a voice, it's not just words. There's a power behind it. They are spiritual words. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. And John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So we need the Spirit of God to open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, amen? And then we need the Spirit of God to speak to us. Not just what I say. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you had a crummy waitress or waiter? But the meal was good, amen? So if I don't deliver it exactly right, remember, the words of God are exactly that, the words of God. And it's a blessing to have those words. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, and the devil came with the three great temptations. 1 John tells us all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Remember, in Genesis, Adam and Eve failed at that. But here's the second Adam from above. This is Jesus Christ. He was victorious. How was he victorious? Every time the devil tempted him, he said, "It is written." So we don't go in our own strength. We memorize the Bible. We use the Bible, amen? And we have a knowledge of the Bible, and that's how we fight the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, you read about the Apostle Paul, and he's a captive. He's a prisoner. And he sees a Roman soldier, and he starts to describe the armor of God by that soldier. And he says, "The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, loins girt about with truth, and the shield of faith," right? But then he says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And that is the only offensive weapon. Faith is defensive, the helmet's defensive. But the sword of the Spirit, that's how you fight the devil. Remember in Matthew 4, it says, "Then the devil leaveth him." If you want victory, amen, over the things of this world, over the devil, you use the Bible. It's not our character. It's not our position. It's not our finances. It's nothing like that. It is the Bible. And if we could just be in the Scripture and the Bible in us, there, what's the "wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And we hide that word in our heart that we might not sin against God. The devil is always trying to get us to do the wrong thing. Have you ever discovered that, you know? But the Lord has a Bible verse for everything that you would need. And that "from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Teach your children. Teach them the Bible. Amen? Put that Bible in them. There was a family, I know this because I know them personally, that invited somebody for Thanksgiving dinner. And this woman, I know her personally, she cooked a tremendous meal. I know this story firsthand. And she cooked this wonderful meal. She made a dessert. She made all the stuff. And these people that were supposed to come never came to eat the meal. Now, you think about that. Amen? Here's all this wonderful meal prepared. Turkey, dressing, mashed potatoes with butter and gravy on them, pumpkin pie with whipped cream for dessert, cranberry sauce, rolls right out of the oven. Amen? You put the slab of butter on, and it just rolls down. Amen? Now, that's a meal you do not want to miss, right? I mean, if you're invited to something like that, man, you want to chow down, as they used to say. But this is a true story. Those people never showed up to eat that meal. Isn't that tragic? What a disappointment that was for that family. And what a missed opportunity it was for that family. In Luke chapter 14, there's a story about a certain man, and he prepares a great feast. And he invites everybody to that feast. It's a spiritual application, but God takes earthly truths and stories and makes spiritual application. And there were some people invited, and with one consent, they began to make excuse. And one said, I bought some oxen. I have to go prove them. What a stupid reason, right? You'd prove the oxen before you bought them. Well, I bought some land, and I have to go see it, right? You know, some swamp land in Florida. And the other one said, I married a wife. I cannot come. He probably had a good reason, you know? I didn't mean that to come out bad, but it did, didn't it? Okay? And so here's three reasons. Here's three excuses. And for what? That was God preparing something, and it was talking about the people that rejected what God had prepared for them. Every time we open the scriptures, every single time, God has prepared something for us. It doesn't have to be church. It can be in your morning devotions. It could be the word that you've hidden in your heart, and God brings it to your mind. Meditate on it. While I was musing, the fire burned. Let that do something in your heart, because it's the word of God. It's a spiritual book. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It means something. Amen? It's the Bible. It's the very word of God. Think today of the feast that God has provided for us. When we were kids, I don't know if they still have this, but Wonder Bread. Have you ever seen Wonder Bread? Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. And now they find out that it's probably put more people in the grave. I don't know, you know. But there's reasons for that. Do you remember the Red Barn? There's McDonald's, Burger King, Burger Chef. Do you anybody remember the Red Barn? Yeah, there was a Red Barn. I grew up in Ohio, and at least they had them in Ohio. But it said, "Come hungry, go happy." That was their slogan. Come hungry, go happy. They're all out of business now, so I guess nobody went home happy. But it's like the ploy of the world. Come here. You're hungry for this. You're hungry for that. Not just food, but the things of the world. Come to us, and we will feed your soul. No, they don't do that. They create another hunger for more and more and more. But there's a spiritual answer to these things. And that's what I want to look at today in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. We will read beginning in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Milk, remember the babes get the milk. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's a lot in those verses. There's a lot more in those verses that I could ever address this morning. I will take little portions of it, but we use it or we lose it. I remember in school, I took 3 years of French, and I really enjoyed the French language, but you can't use it here. I mean, I should have taken Spanish, you know. But I remember in our class, our third year of French, all we spoke was French in the classroom. We got French names and we had to speak French. You weren't allowed to use English. And we read stories, et cetera, but our teacher told us, because this was a long time ago, this was back in the late 90s, right before I graduated. And but she said, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that is very, very true. And verses in the Bible, we need to say them over and over and over. Amen? And we need to apply the Bible to our life. Otherwise, we forget how to fight the devil. You forget what to use to fight certain things. In 1 Peter 2:2, which would go along with this in Hebrews, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So the babe desires the milk. And then you see this spiritual maturity, because we have the milk, and you just watch a little baby and you feed that little baby, and they're 2 years old. Now they're in daycare, or I mean, they just grow up. Pretty soon they're teenagers. You know, and you'll have all of this going on, but you see this maturity in speech, in language, speech and language are the same, aren't they? Okay, thank you very much. And you see them growing, maturing. That's the same thing with the Christian. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. See the picture? And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, Job says. Isn't that interesting? I feast on this. I eat this. It becomes a part of my life, a part of my being. So you have the milk of the word, and you have the meat of the word. There are so many verses here. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's a guide. You know, I hear behind me, this is the way, walk ye in it. All of the Bible verses that deal with that. The content of the scripture is for our benefit. It's for our help. It's for strengthening us. It's the comfort of the scriptures. Amen? And God does everything through the Bible. You can see a mature believer. He has tried and proved the scriptures. That is a mature believer. He is applying, or she is applying, the Bible to their life. That's a mature believer. If a child went to school and never applied anything they learned, there would be no knowledge, there would be no maturity. Amen? As a matter of fact, there could be a handicap that caused that. But when we read the Bible and use the Bible in our life, which God wants us to do, that is how we mature. It's a baby. There's a little child mentioned in the Bible. A young man. The aged. Remember Paul the aged? And so you see those things. Paul said, I have learned. And he was a great Christian. He says, I have learned. We learn by applying the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to rightly divide this Bible, or you're going to be having animal sacrifices. You have to rightly divide the Bible. Amen. You have to know what the Bible is talking about. It's a picture of the Old Testament lamb when they sacrificed the lamb. That's a picture of Christ who was going to die on the cross. And there's so much to get into there. And we are not living in the book of Revelation. You rightly divide the word. Amen? So anyway, without taking more time there, turn in your Bibles a little bit to your right. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll read a couple verses here. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the instruction is. And then God provides the principles, the oracles, the precepts, the commandments, the teaching, all of the teaching, so that we can fulfill that instruction. You have 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 12. The whole chapter is good, but he says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abideth in you, then the devil leaveth him. You've overcome. We are not to be overcome, we are to be overcomers. And so God tells us, and he shows us a picture. There's nothing wrong with a new convert. Hey, what's this mean? What's that mean? I don't understand this. I've never heard that before. Remember when you were a new convert and you started going to church? I remember Linda and I, we'd be sitting there. We were so thrilled to be saved, and we're just sitting there, 22 years old, and we're listening to the Bible being preached. And we would go to every service, because every time we went, you heard something new and wonderful and precious. Amen? And then you start applying those things. It's the greatest thing since... sliced bread, yeah. Peanut butter. It's a good thing. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't think you have to turn there, but I just want to read something there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, this is the instruction to Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So that was his instruction from the Apostle Paul. Gave that to young Timothy. And then he said, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. By the words of thy mouth you have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. We take this book, we memorize. You say, well, I wonder why in my devotions I'm here. I wonder, and you can read books that go with the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. You can hear sermons, nothing wrong with that, but you've got to spend time in the Bible. And then, as you go out in the battlefield, as you go out in the world, here's a verse. It's in your mind. He will do that for you. He will give you the verse, and you can overcome whatever the battle is. Amen? It's the Bible. It's all the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, God said to Timothy, if you keep the people in remembrance of these things, and he gave them specific instruction, he said, you'll be a good minister. That's what I try to do week after week after week. I have said before, I've probably said it a dozen times here, I'll probably say it a dozen more times, I am not preaching down to anybody. This is exactly what I need. The just man falleth seven times, riseth up again. We ride the roller coaster. Nobody's perfect. Amen. But God is, and his word is. And I try the best I can to just keep giving the word, because that's what God says to do. Preach the word, preach the word. Let it be the word that transforms people's lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said, feed the flock of God, taking the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Feed the flock of God. Where did he get that? John chapter 21. Here's after the resurrection, and Jesus and Peter are talking, and Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Okay. Peter, do you love me? Second time. Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Third time he says to him, and this is the third time he came to the disciples. And so the third time he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Why do you... Well, I'm ad-libbing there a little bit. But then the Lord said, feed my sheep. So Peter, in writing the books of Peter, said, feed the flock of God. Amen? So we find this treasure of the word going out, and it feeds hungry souls. Amen? And whether you're a preacher or a teacher, you can, We can feed our family. We can feed our neighbors. We can feed our fellow workers, whoever we come in contact with. We can give the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause thank we God without ceasing. Paul said that to the believers in Thessalonica. A church was established there. For when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Bingo. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. The Bible only works if you believe it. It works in the hearts of believers. It's a spiritual book. Amen? You could hear a verse like John 3:16. God so loved the world. You could read it and not get saved. It's when you open your heart to the truth of that verse and you receive Christ as your Savior, then Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And so Paul is commending them and saying, man, this wasn't the word of men that you heard. This was the very word of God. That's what changed your life. That's what gave you that wonderful church there in Thessalonica. The verses are endless. In 1990, Romania became a freer nation, not a completely free nation, but their dictator, Ceausescu, was assassinated. 1990. In 1991, we went into Romania to do missions work. It was absolutely amazing. The stores were empty, but Ceausescu had over 70 palaces in all of these municipalities. I mean, palaces, marble, and I mean, just unbelievable. And he spent all of the wealth of the people on himself. And the people were poor. A lot of them were farmers. We would go to stores, and all they had was cabbage to eat. We would go to a Penny's or something, like would be here, and there's nothing on the shelves, just a few items here and there. My wife had a pair of nylons on, and one of the clerks or clerkettes came up to her and said, "Sharapis, sharapis." That was meant nylons, and she wanted to buy the nylons right off of my wife. They didn't have anything like that over there. When we would go, they would have these. What are they? Like a hall for political meetings. In every city, they would have one of those, even in some of the smaller towns. And all we would have to do is ride around town and say, "We're going to have a service. We're preachers from America, and we're going to have a service tonight." The place would be filled. It would be filled. Everybody would come. If there was no seats, they'd stand. Or even outside at the windows. They were so hungry for the word of God. Amen? And boy, salvations and people and young men surrendering for the ministry. It was unbelievable. As they got more westernized, it began to change a little. And that is pretty typical. But it was so wonderful to be there and see that appetite, that spiritual appetite. Do you know anything about starvation? I looked up some things about starvation because I wanted to show a comparative truth here, because the Lord says, this is my word. You know, if you eat the bread, you'll never hunger, and all of those principles. But I looked up some things on starvation. And starvation is a severe deficiency in caloric energy intake below the level needed to maintain an organism's life. Starvation is, it's not going to sustain you. You're going to get to a place in life, and it's going to take your life. What are the first signs of starvation? Now think about this. Make a spiritual application, because God does all the way through the scriptures. Thy words were found and I did eat them, right? So the first thing, and I looked this up online, this is the first thing they say is a sign of starvation. Reduced appetite. You would think the appetite would be stronger, but there comes a time in starvation when the appetite is reduced and there's no more hunger. I guess it's the body's way of doing something, I don't know. But it says reduced appetite. Second one was a lack of interest in food. Think about that. Starvation. Something that is going to take a person's life because they are not getting the nourishment that they need to sustain life, to have a prosperous life, to think right, to act right, physically, in this world. And there's no more hunger. And that's a step, that's a bad step, because on the other side of that, it's just all downhill from there. A lack of interest in food. Can you imagine having a lack of interest in the Bible? Can you even imagine that? A lack of interest in reading it or memorizing it or using it. That's the comparative application. It says feeling tired all the time, feeling weaker, getting ill often and taking a long time to recover. How about this one? Wounds that take a long time to heal. Have you ever been wounded? Remember a couple weeks ago I preached on mercy? I mean, if you've ever been wounded, it can destroy you. And that's a step down. That's going in the wrong direction. Poor concentration. Well, what are you preaching about today? I just woke up. You know, poor concentration. And there are reasons to go to sleep in church. You can be tired. You can really be tired. You can be on medication. You might have had a bad night. Nobody's judging your spirituality if you fall asleep in church. Remember that. Amen? Right? It happens. It happens. But when there's something and God is speaking, whoa. I told you about that young man. His name was Elijah. He got a Bible name. He came from Moldova or the Ukraine. I think it was the Ukraine. And they came to our Bible school in Romania. And he had a little cassette player, you know. Just that was his gold mine. And I would be teaching, and he'd keep those tapes being changed, you know. And I was teaching something about in the Old Testament and the two birds, and they send one off to be into the wilderness and making all the application for Christ. And he was sitting there with his eyes like this. And now they're sitting on wooden slats, you know. And it's either too hot or too cold in there. In the winter, you make a fire in this heater, and it just burns everybody out. But if you don't make the fire, then everybody freezes. And the good seat when class starts is next to the fire. The good seat when class is over is way far away from that fire, you know. But I mean, so hungry, so in tune to what God is saying. Can you imagine a lack of interest in the Bible? God's Word. God's Word. A friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, read all the Louis L'Amour books. Loved Louis L'Amour. I've read some of them too. I mean, right, Richard? Have you ever read those? Oh, okay, stick to the truth. Yeah, these are fictions. But, I mean, he read all these Louis L'Amour books, but he also read his Bible. Amen. And he was probably more interested in the Bible than he was Louis L'Amour. Poor concentration, feeling cold most of the time. All these are signs of starvation, spiritual starvation. Ah. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a famine in the land, and the prophet was there, and some men went out, and one man went out, and there was a wild vine, and he gathered wild gourds, and he brought them in, and they had a big pot, and they threw them in the pot. They were going to eat that because there was nothing else to eat. And they tasted it, and one said, there's death in the pot. Death in the pot, because they were poisonous gourds. And they were something that he had never eaten before. But it looked good, you know. Here's food. We're hungry. We need something to eat. And by the way, the prophet came along and then worked everything out, and they did have some food. But they took something that they didn't know. Boy, it's so important to know your Bible is the truth, but there's a lot of stuff out there that is not the truth. There's a lot of error in the world. Amos chapter 8. Well, I'm going to read this verse. I could quote part of it, but probably not all of it. Behold, the days come, Amos 8:11, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. The famine. It's a famine of hearing the words. Because we've got to hear the words before we can do the words, and then the words are profitable. Amen? But you've got to hear them. And so, open our ears that we may hear. We sang that. The disciples, he opened their ears that they could hear and understand. That those things are important. But anyway, it talks about a famine. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and you don't have to turn here, chapter 6 and verse 24, there's a famine. And it says, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. An ass's head for 80 pieces of silver. What a deal, right? Well, it is when there's a famine. It is when you're hungry. It says, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. You know what that is, dung, right? The fourth part of a cab of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. I think I made a statement last week. We know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. But here, when we're applying this spiritually, remember what Paul said? Paul in the New Testament, he said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. There are those that count all things as dung or dung as all things. Do you get that? In times of a famine, people value worthless things. They value worthless things. Let's make the spiritual application. What is precious? This book is precious. Our Savior is precious. His blood is precious. Amen? That's what it should be. There's no way by me preaching or teaching or using these verses that I can create any hunger for God in anybody. But God does that. Amen? He creates the hunger. And then we start drinking the milk. And it talks about when you should be a teacher, you have to go back again. Well, if that's true, don't keep trying to shove a steak down your throat. Amen? Just get a little glass of milk. Just start with a couple Bible verses. Memorize them. Learn them. Maybe you haven't read through your Bible. Just start. But don't start in Leviticus. Amen? Or Numbers, you know. Just start somewhere. Maybe the Psalms. Maybe Ephesians. Maybe Philippians. And just start. And start drinking the milk again. Or you may choke on the weightier matters. But if there's no appetite, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Exodus chapter 16, we read about God sending the manna, the children of Israel. He sustained them in the wilderness. And in John chapter 6, Jesus said, remember what Moses said about the manna? He said, I am that bread from heaven. He's associating himself with the bread that came down from heaven. God provided all of that. They didn't have any food. That was a miracle. Amen? And so God told Israel to go out and collect this manna every morning, except for the Sabbath, because the day before the Sabbath, you could collect twice as much so you'd have it on the Sabbath. So they were to do no work on the Sabbath. But they went out every morning and they just collected enough for themselves and their family. Just what they needed. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? Sometimes we get so focused on, I don't know, the millennial bread rather than our daily bread. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. It's a daily life. And so the Word of God is pictured here. Jesus Christ is pictured here. And so they would go out, but some of them gathered more than what they needed, and then they kept it. And it says that bread worms and stank because it wasn't used the day they were supposed to use it. Now think about that. Let me give you two other scriptures that are associated with that. We have in Numbers chapter 11, God said, okay, you don't want the manna? What do you want? They said meat. And he sent quail. Do you remember the story? And it says, let me find the verse. It will be so much that it will come out your nostrils and it will be loathsome to you. Loathsome to you. If you're saved, there was a point in your life, your new convert life, maybe the middle, maybe now it's like that. You are so thrilled to be saved, and the things of this world have grown strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And you're growing in grace, and your Savior means so much to you. Maybe He did when you were first saved, maybe in the middle, maybe now. Amen? But you all, and everybody has to look at their own hearts. And it says here in Psalm 78:18, they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. That's what they wanted. That's what they thought would satisfy. But when they got it, it was loathsome to them. So that's the picture. You got what you wanted, but you lost what you have. That's the old-time preacher's message. And it's based on Psalm 106:15. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. He gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness into their souls. You know, you can always get what you want. Somehow. Remember we talked about Jacob? There's always a way to get what you want, but at the cost of leanness of soul is not worth anything. It's not worth it. So God warned them, but they took that judgment because of that. They chose meat for their lust rather than manna for their souls. Believe it or not, pastors are a gift to churches. You say, yeah, we got the booby prize. Well, and that's okay, because Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So if I fumble and stumble, it's okay, as long as the Spirit of God blesses His Word. Amen? And so, Ephesians 4. And He gave some pastors and teachers. So that's a gift to a church. That's just what it is. And this is what you've got. There's a story back, I think I wrote this down, 1 Kings 22, about a man by the name of Micaiah. He was the prophet. And there was a war, and Ahab was one king, and another king came to help him. And they were asking all of their seers and all of their influential men in the kingdom, can I go up and defeat this enemy? And they all said, yes, go up, O king. Oh, go up, O king. You'll be victorious. And the one king said to the other, isn't there somebody else here we can ask? And he said, yeah, there's a man by the name of Micaiah, but I hate him. Those words are in your Bible, because he never prophesies good towards me. And believe me, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, but correction is there. So to preach the whole counsel of God, every once in a while you have to see it like it is. Amen? And when you do, you can change. I looked this up online, and I guess I'll close with this. But each day in the United States, this is pretty up-to-date, approximately 1 pound of food per person is wasted. You ever remember as kids, you know, somebody in China is starving, you know, and you won't eat the food on your plate. But every day per person, 1 pound average, 1 pound of food is wasted. And it says this equates to 103 million tons or 206 billion pounds of food every day is wasted in America. Now, there's not a lot we can do about somebody else wasting food. We have to look at our own life, right? Let's make the spiritual application. There's a lot of food. A lot of food in here. It's a great banquet. Amen? He's prepared a table before us. And he said, come and dine, like the old song says, all we have to do. Be concerned about the pound that maybe you would waste. And may that be profitable to your spiritual health. We are to be hearers of the word, or doers of the word, and not hearers only. Because, and it goes on, it says, deceiving our own selves. So we're self-deceived when we think we can just hear it and go and have spiritual strength because of that. That's not where your spiritual strength comes from. It comes from doing what you read, what you hear, what God speaks to you in his word about. Amen? Think of the growth. Think of the victory. Think of the other people that will be influenced by your godly life to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord when the things of this world don't mean what he means. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? It's all about the Bible. It's all about the Bible. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for it. I pray that my heart would so desire it. And that when you speak to me, I would so want to fulfill the instruction, the correction, the blessing, whatever it is, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Bless our church. Thank you that it's a Bible church. A Bible church. May we follow this book. And may we honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.